Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Flumes, John McGuinness, and Adolf Hitler. To try and give you a taster of this and so many other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by News Hounds, Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
Plus Newspaper Sales and Distribution's Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
And Grace Burns.
I am.
It's a full house this week. Well, sort of, because I've gone old school and I'm zooming in. I was just saying before we started recording, I feel like Akon, Naughty's R&B stroke rapping icon, Akon. I think he was from Senegal, wasn't he?
He is, and he bought a mine in Africa with his money.
Oh,
that's a, yeah, to do responsible mining and things for diamonds, I think.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure I saw him
once
talking about his mine he'd bought.
That is the greatest album that ever happened. It's like full-on Alan Partridge. Jimmy Bullard and Akon discussing sustainable diamond mining in Africa on Soccer. Well,
I was back in the Tim Lovejoy days.
That's the programme everyone wants. It's like youth hustling with Chris Eubank, isn't it, really? So how's everyone's week been? Sam, good week?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird week, isn't it? We finally got a president in America. Got Peter Sutcliffe's dead. That was a surprise this morning.
Breaking news day.
Yeah.
Yorkshire Ripper dead.
What do we news? Yeah. And loads of other stuff has happened. I had to get on a bus.
Why did you get on a bus?
You love the bus.
I don't love the bus.
You love
Where
transport.
Are you going?
I was going to my house from Douglas. I had to get the bus. Didn't like it.
Quite an epic time for Sam.
Why did you not like it?
I just don't like buses.
This where did you sit?
Was it double-decker?
You know, it was a single-decker, and I sat in that seat. You know the bit where there's like four seats facing each other? I tried to sit on the outside to be unsociable, and someone just moved my legs out of the way and put my bags down. I was really unhappy about it because there was loads of other seats, but he just determined to sit facing me.
Me and my dad don't sit together on the bus because we both like to sit by the window, and we both like to have headphones on, so we always sit one behind the other.
It's a fascinating insight into the inner psyche of people is where they sit on the bus, isn't it? You know, I was always downstairs back because I didn't feel like I had the kahunas to go upstairs and sit, you know, with the hard kids. But I felt at the back of the downstairs, at least there was a little bit of kudos. You know what I mean? he was sort of king of the goons, as it were. Yeah. Paul, where did you sit on the bus? Because I'm guessing you got the bus from Q2 to the Wilds of Belaf.
Yeah, it was a proper like power hierarchy how far you sat back. I feel like year seven start up front, and then as you progressed and got slightly cooler, you could gradually move back until in sixth form, I think everybody ended up back row at least.
And now, did anyone encounter smoking on the bus? Or was that was
yeah, people used to set the seats on fire.
OMG.
And awesome.
Well, yeah, but because they were smoking and they'd like the seat.
My first ever day on the school bus, a boy had a glass bottle chucked at his head and it bled a lot. And people were all giving him their homework to blot the blood up and stop bleeding.
Wow.
And then
wow.
I school bus and I got the nicer one.
Are school buses still like that though? Are they still, because they used to be violent back in the day. Yeah. And I would just wonder if they still like that now. I'd hope so, because that's part of school, isn't it?
The amount of times we get from like St. Ian's and get as far as the grandstand and everyone would throw it off because it was a fight. It's great.
I think we just need to add a caveat in there, Grace, that we're not encouraging bottling or arson on any of our public transport system.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel.
We'll crack on with the news, Sam. It's a cracking story, this, about the NSC and the pool renovations, and in particular, these all awesome new flumes that we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I partially just chose this because it gives me the opportunity to go flume again. But essentially, yeah, it's the new, it's the slide flume things in the NSC. We've all been down them. It was the red and the green. The green was quicker, but it was also dark. Red was a bit slower. It was light. So, you know, it's very important, this sort of thing. You used to race down them. But yeah, if you got the green one, you were winning. So it's fine. But they took them out. It was 2 years. We worked this out. 2 years, 8 months, 3 weeks and some days ago now, and they met me back in by TT 2019. That came and went. Then Christmas came and went, and then COVID came and went, and then summer holidays came and went, and now eventually Tim Ward is being asked to pay out another 227 grand to actually get these things fixed, because been all sorts of problems with the wrong sizes and the steps and the plastics and something to do with a factory in Turkey. It's a complete mess of a job. And the taxpayers are going to be asked to fork out this money to pay for it.
Now, it's not just for the flume, this overspend, though, is it?
Yes.
Is it just purely for the two flumes?
We're talking about the steps.
Oh, the steps. I didn't know whether, because obviously at the moment, the competition pool is in use, and I think the leisure pool next to it, but the fun pool, where you used to have the swirl pool and the big spouts, I'm doing all these actions on video for the but I don't think that's finished either, is it?
Well, no, well, that's not finished because of the flumes. It is finished, but they can't use it because the flumes, there's a health and safety issue of allowing people to put in a pool with scaffolding in it. I don't know. It's just a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Let's face it. It's taxpayers' money, which has just been, are you ready for this? Poured down the drain.
I was going to talk about the flumes before we move on. Now, I remember, Sam, in the intro there, you talked about the red and the green flume and the speed trap. Now, I have a question. Do we think those speed traps were accurate?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean,
because they always used to be around the same figure. It was like I remember, I've been in there a couple of times, and you got the technique where you go on your shoulder blades, you sort of keep yourself back like Amy Williams, so there's no drag. I've shaved my chest, I've taken the beard off, you know, there's no wind resistance.
You must have ruined my kid's birthday party.
There's been a lad in the next flume next to me, dawdling along, sat butt upright. He's got his bloody armbands on, and he's gone at least 10 seconds quicker. And I'm like, that's not possible. You know, I was trying there. And that's the quickest I'm going to go without any anabolic steroids. Do you know what I mean? and the figures are pretty much the same. So that might make me thinking, is this where the 227 grand's gone? Are we going to have a more accurate speed trap? Because if it is, I'm all for it. I'll throw in another 20 quid.
So do you think we should get like Hawkeye or VAR or something?
Well, I was thinking
that'd be quite so worrying, you know, if you come down the slide and you go to Stockley Park afterwards to find out what your time was.
I was thinking, you know, at one end of the swimming pool, and actually the competition pool, they've got the lane order and obviously the results. Another big scoreboard just for flume times, and you can enter your name at the end. So then it'd be like a rank, like the Top Gear, old school Top Gear, the power chart, whatever it's called, power laps. You could have people, so like it'd be like, and it, but then I'd also, you'd have to have a little bit of a control over what name you could put in, because then people were putting in rude names, wouldn't they, like Willie and stuff like that. And then, like, I was just, you know, Big Sam, 59.6 seconds. You know, I think it would add an element of competition and a draw to the whole flume concept.
I'm actually privy to a bit of insider information here. I did my lifeguarding training at the NSC way back in 2013, I think. And even though...
When they started this project.
Yeah, I was amazed. We never got the specialist training of how to give the nod of when to go down with things. But apparently they said there isn't any difference in the speed between them. They're about the same.
That's a lie.
It's a shocking revelation, but maybe they just did that to make us feel better. But
Team Green all the way. Team Green.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to read more about this story, probably not including all this gumph I've just given you about the speed traps, that's in the Alaman Examiner this week on page 3. Katie, if you want a digital edition, how can people get their hands on that, so to speak?
You go to iomtoday.co.im and click on digital editions, and then you can access the Examiner for £1 and the Courier for free.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on, next news story. Paul, we go to a TT star that's got himself embroiled in a bit of a Twitter spat involving Piers Morgan as well, bizarrely.
So if our readers have recovered from the excitement of the Neighbours controversy, where they called the island a tax haven, we have some more tabloidy gossip in this week's Independent. As you said, John McGuinness got himself in a spot of bother where he was sat on his couch in the morning and he tweeted a picture of Good Morning Britain. And it was one of the talking heads, expert scientists. And he captioned it with, "Why is this bird on my TV every morning talking the same, shall we say, another word for dog poop?" Yeah, it caused quite the Twitter storm. I had to wade through thousands of comments and people were calling him a misogynist, a sexist, and plenty supporting him as well. And then Piers Morgan waded into the fray too. And he called him, I believe, a misogynistic dinosaur and said, "That woman is one of the top experts in the world. You, on the other hand, you put the TT in another nasty word that begins with T." And
it also ends with T. You know, was there much support for him, shall we say?
It seemed like the older, shall we say, pub-going demographic were filing in support of, "Don't listen to her, it's just some swat talking the usual," and all the usual COVID conspiracy came flooding in. But yeah, a lot of people were focusing on his archaic terminology, saying they thought the word bird went out of use in the 70s. And I think it was about half and half from what I saw on his Twitter. But Morgan's was a totally different story. They were really ripping into John McGuinness there.
We've got obviously got two ladies on the podcast. What do you think about this, Katie?
Well, I find it very hard to comment because I love John McGuinness. I've been talking to Sam about him all morning because my boyfriend watches a lot of YouTube clips of interviews with John McGuinness. And there's certain ones I've watched where he was giving like a tour of his, should call it like a mobile home during the TT of the paddock.
Yeah.
He's giving like a tour of that. It's just fascinating. Like he's just got fridges stocked with like sausages and there's nothing like healthy, no energy drinks or whatever. It's just all like sausage, bacon, home away from home. And it's just,
So his tweet hasn't diminished your love for him then?
No, not really. No.
Grace?
I don't know. He shouldn't have said it about, obviously, she's a scientist. It's more offensive towards a job. I don't find the word bird offensive. I don't think that's... people should be kicking off about that. Obviously, he was a bit, like, derogatory to it, but because she is highly qualified. But in the sense of saying, like, calling her a bird, I don't think that's... I mean, it's just a very northern thing, isn't it? So...
Yeah. Well, if you want to read more about that story, it was in the Max Independent this week, which you can also buy as a digital copy online, as Kate has already said in this very podcast. But of course, if you're out and about, they're in the shops as well, as we speak.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right. Now, for the feature that has taken a nation by storm, last week's, obviously I wasn't on the podcast last week, but I heard last week's and it was an absolute corker. I'm talking about Would You Rather, and there's only one lady that can introduce this, Grace Burns.
So this week, I'm bringing it back to the NSC. So, and I feel like the second half of Would You Rather needs a bit of explaining. So, you know, when you're at the NSC and they have those like cool float things, but there's always like weird bite marks out of them and like of like bites out of like the pool floats. So my would you rather this week is, would you rather live in the NSC for 3 years, can't leave, you are stuck in there, your whole life is in there for 3 years, or eat one of the pool floats every month for a whole year?
How big are the pool floats? Because you got the ones that like the kids use that are like, I don't know, probably about the size of a shoe, that they sort of, and then you've got the flipping big ones that they try and sit on.
I go with a noodle, you know, one of them.
Noodle. And you don't have to eat it in one sitting. You get the whole month to eat it. Sitting, sorry.
No, you have to. You have to pick a day of the month to eat this noodle. Cool.
That's a big ask. I'd live in the
NSC. I'd rather live in the NSC for 3 years.
Yeah.
Could my friends visit me in the NSC? Like, I can have visitors.
You can only, you know how there's, like, the glass bit? So you're in the bit by the pool. So they can only, like, wave from the glass.
So for 3 years, I'm living near a pool by myself.
Yeah.
Just the chlorine damage to my skin would be horrendous. I feel dry and flaky just thinking about being in there for 3 years.
Would the flumes be fixed?
Well, it depends. I don't know. Will they? Probably not.
Would the cafe be open?
Yeah, that's obviously where you get your food.
Okay, yeah, I'm in. I'll do 3 years.
But actually, we should put another safety thing is you shouldn't really go to the cafe and then in the pool because, you know, as we're all taught, don't swim on a full stomach. So
you'll die.
Yeah.
Got to wait half an hour.
Yeah, definitely NSC. Paul, what are you saying?
I don't think there's any question. Living in the NSC, you can ride your bike up and down the corridors. And actually some plush little offices on some of the wings where you can use for a bedroom. And it's not like you literally have to spend the 3 hours in the pool itself. I don't think that's bad at all. No.
I'm starting to think Paul actually does live in the NSC.
What about you, Katie?
I think, to be honest, I was going to go with Eat the Float.
I'd eat the float because I would be stuck in there for 3 years.
I don't want to put my life on pause for 3 years.
For 3 years. I'm not getting any younger, so I wouldn't want 3 years of my life.
I'm not getting any younger. Well, I think if you want to answer the debate, this debate, whether you'd rather live in the NSC for 3 years or eat a noodle float for once a month. So is that once a month for 3 years?
No, once a month for 1 year. So you've only got 12.
Please do get involved on social media at IOM News Podcast on Twitter. And of course, we're on the gram, aren't we, as well?
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
This week in history, go back to the Examiner of November 17th, 1944. Sam, what's on the front page that week in history?
Well, there's a... I just thought it was quite an interesting one, actually, because obviously we've just had Remembrance Sunday and Armistice Day, and we've now got a stage where, you know, we're 26 years later, you got the whole of Europe and the war back at the world back at war again. So I was thinking about the Manx Regiment's proud record of 153 confirmed kills, which is it's a weird sort of thing, because you've got to think of, you know, from the time of where we are now to where they are. There's a lot of pride about how the Manx are doing in the war and the effort that they've put into the...
killing.
Yeah, essentially. The effort they've put into the British cause. So there's a variety of things. I mean, there's they talk about they list the principal battle stations, the 15th Manx Light Regiment, whose activity since far off territorial days forms the subject of a stirring article written by the official military observer to the Order, the Ardman Times. So it's quite an interesting one in a sense, because they've got the record of what they're up to at that period. Obviously, now this is in the days of censorship, so we don't know exactly, you know, how accurate some of this stuff is. But it's very interesting just to see how it was written, and also just when you start reading the names, I mean, you've got like, you know, Major Milcrease, Major Kane, Captain Lay, Captain Sale, Captain McPherson, Captain Krog. You know, there's a lot of Manx names in this. It's quite interesting. I thought it was quite interesting how the island was covering the war at the time, also how the newspapers were covering it at the same time.
Paul, what caught your eye on the front page that week?
Yeah, I just thought it was quite interesting how they talked about the official military observer to the Order of the Times. I don't know if that meant there was a military official correspondent that we sort of were assigned, or there was an actual... Did the Ardman newspapers have war correspondents themselves? I mean... If so, that would have made our job a bit more interesting back then, wouldn't it, Sam?
Yeah, you wouldn't want me in a war zone. I'd be wandering around complaining there's no pot noodles and stuff there.
And it's a bit grim how they're reading out the range of fates from Manx soldiers. You get some killed, some captured, and on a slightly brighter note, wounded and unable to smoke, which doesn't sound so bad. It says, son, he said he can't smoke because it affects his chest, but he would be glad of some extra food. Doesn't that just sound chirpy and stiff up the lip right there, huh?
Katie, any adverts that caught your eye?
There's one which I can't stop looking at, which just asks, where...
That's a good advert, then.
Where is Hitler? Why worry? Forget him. It's time to concentrate on Christmas gifts. That will bring joy and pleasure. And if you don't know what to give, then come to RC Kane's.
There you go. Grace, anything catch your eye on the front page this week?
It's still the Hitler one. Where is Hitler? And it's just like, forget about him. Christmas gifts.
I love it. It says, use any door for gifts galore, but be quick to have your pick.
I just love how they've tied Hitler into it to, you know, really sell that they're doing great Christmas gifts.
Anything else, Sam, before we move on? On that front page from...
there's a bit of an interesting news about the... You can now read the Examiner in London. The... the examiner was asked, as one of the colonial journals, as it's referred to send copies to a reading station in London to allow for forces on leave or in the capital to see what was going on in their local areas, which was there was a lot from across the UK which had been invited to that, and even across the empire at the time. So it was good to see the examiner was included in that.
Well, we can read they still read the examiner globally, can't you, Katie?
You can indeed. If you go to iomtoday.co.im and click on digital editions, anywhere in the world you can read your examiner. Anywhere within.
Fantastic. You can listen to this podcast anywhere as well. On the toilet.
With internet.
On the bus. Yeah. Well, you can download it.
On the bus.
Sam hates this podcast more than our listeners do. So.
But that's what we should put on the promotion, Grace. Sam Turton hates this more than our listeners do.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sticking with the military theme, actually, to Yes to Training, Katie, and you paid a visit to the Manx Aviation Military Museum last weekend, didn't you?
I'm sorry, it's been a very busy week, and I haven't had much time to research any fairy tales or anything like that. So, sounding like a kid who's just been on a school trip, I'm basically going to tell you about my trip to the Manx Aviation and Military Museum, because I loved it so much, and I'm very much not interested in military or aviation, yet I absolutely loved it. Yes, so it is a free-to-visit museum. It's down past the airport. There's a little sign that says, "We're open," and you turn left, and it looks tiny from the outside, but it's absolutely massive inside. And so you go in, it's got a focus on, it's less about events of any war, but more about the people, the Manx people who fought in the wars, or the Manx communities that were affected. Obviously, there's a lot about women there as well, about the Manx history and connection with the RAF, and obviously a lot of, it really focuses on different communities on the island too. So you'll have an area where they look at Castletown or Malou in general, and kind of the graves you'll find at Malou graveyard, like from soldiers who've been taken out of the sea and buried there. And I also visited the vampire graveyard, like the vampire grave when I visited Malou after. And they've got, they actually have this exhibit about Manx Airlines, which I got really excited by and had to tell the person I was with had never flown on Manx Airlines. So I got very excited telling him about the little three legs of man chocolates, which are in the display.
What?
They've got actual chocolates?
Yeah.
Moldy.
I mean, it must have been sprayed with something to keep it fresh.
Well, that's in itself a reason to go. As you say, it looks very small from the outside because it's just past the bottom roundabout, as it were, by the airport.
Yes.
Just before you get to King William's College, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just on the left, on the very edge of the sort of airfield, as it were.
Yeah, and you do, even outside, you've got you've got guns, you've got an old Manx Airlines plane, you've got, honestly, massive things they've rebuilt, massive projects they've done inside to rebuild vehicles and things that were used in the Second World War. I've become obsessed with the Manx Regiment after visiting, and I need a good book recommendation, and I need to read more about them.
Paul, have you been? You're a bit of a history buff.
I've been three times, actually.
Wow. What's your favourite exhibit?
I think it's very interesting, the exhibits on the American plane crashes that happened here, one of which was the deadliest in Manx history. It was tragic. It was just 2 weeks before the end of the war, and a couple of soldiers, 31, were flying on leave from England to Northern Ireland, and they went straight into North Barul on fog. And they've got all the exhibits, pieces of wreckage, pictures. It's a big piece of World War II history that you wouldn't think is so close to Ramsey. You know?
Sam, you're obviously another history buff as well. Have you been?
No, I haven't actually.
Sam, you'd love it. You have to go. You have to go.
Apparently, I have to go. But I don't know what I've been really. I think it's just one of them where I think I'm only ever free on Saturdays, and most of them are spent stood in muddy, cold fields watching terrible Manx Division II football. So I do need to get around to going. Yeah, I will do.
Grace, would you go off the back of these glowing recommendations?
I would, after Katie's recommendation. I think I definitely go. I do love a museum. So.
Also, because it is run by on a volunteer basis, because it is a free museum, and they're so helpful, and they also give you help with if you want to trace, if you have grandparents that fought in any of the wars, they can help you trace military records, and it's just that interesting sort of. Also, a lot of the actual artifacts that are there have really interesting stories of how they came to find these things, like being gifted by people who found them buried in their back gardens and tracing who these medals belong to. Or it's just, even if you're not specifically interested in war history or the military in any way, it's really more about the people behind everything. It's just, it is a really great museum. But I did see they have a lot of newspaper clippings there as well. And there was one which I took a photo of. It's from the Isle of Man Examiner from the 4th of September, 1915. And it was, soldiers want Manx cats. And it was an appeal from some soldiers in France who were very anxious to get hold of some Manx kittens. So if anyone could send Manx kittens to France to contact Miss Grindley of Mona Street Douglas.
Why would they want
us
like companions?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or lunch.
Well, maybe to help with the what do you call it, the rodent population that they were probably encountering. But my main query is, how the chuff were they going to get them? Like, I wouldn't recommend sending a live animal these days, let alone in during wartime. So.
They just have to put it on there.
Carrier pigeon.
But what if they're all
large
tiny?
Carrier pigeon, small kitten.
Carrier albatross.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so well, I'm intrigued now. That's flagged up more questions than answers. Okay, we need to find out if these kittens actually made the trip to France. There could be this rogue population of French Manx cats in that area.
That is very true. What if there is somewhere in France a shitload of Manx cats?
Well, like a lot of men's catch ones of Angor. Bonjour, yes, sir.
Well, if you're in France and you stumbled across a Manx cat, please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We found a pink seagull before. I'm sure we can find a French Manx cat. Right, that's about it for this week. Sam, what's coming up in the Examiner?
Oh, there's loads and loads and loads of stuff coming in the Examiner. It's a real smorgasbord of X and O's, as the Manx cats in France would be saying. There's stuff on planning. There's stuff on stuff that isn't planning. There's more stuff on planning. There's stuff on stuff that isn't even planning at all. It's wonderful.
Some landlords.
Yes, we're doing landlords. Oh, we've got like the state of housing. We've got a bit more stuff for Tim will get to go. We've got grandparents' rights. We've got Groudle Glen Railway. We've got Peel and Michael Street and
Port St. Mary Toy Museum.
Port St. Mary Toy Museum. You name it, we've got it, you know.
Paul, anything you're working on?
Yeah, a couple of things, keeping with the theme of history. They removed some 170-year-old flagstones from the floor of Andreas Church, and they didn't know what to do with them, and so they were glad to find out that Manx National Heritage wanted them, and they were going to use them to make monuments out of. And use them to refurbish Peel Castle walls and that sort of thing. And I thought it was funny, they actually held a special service for the flagstones to thank them for their decades, 170 years of faithful service to the church.
If those flagstones could speak, you know, the stories they could tell, the people that have stood on them. Katie, any special inserts or anything next week?
There's loads of things coming up, but can I just say that the Manx Aviation and Military Museum is open on Saturdays and Sundays throughout winter from 10 a.m. till 4:30.
And when are you starting to volunteer down there?
Yeah, I know. We're not sponsored by them in any way,
shape, or form. I just really liked it. I want people to visit and leave donations so we can all visit again. Need to get Paul there for a fourth time. The gift shop is phenomenal, Sam. It's full of model tanks and planes, and there was also a kid buying like a little paper plane at the time, because I was like, should I get myself one? Oh,
the ones that you push the things through and you got like a little spinny bit at the front.
Yes, great gift shop, yeah.
Well, there you go. So that's the Manx Aviation and Military Museum of Ronaldsway. Please do go and pay a visit. Right, well, that's about it for this week's jam-packed podcast. Please do get in touch, as I say, at IM News Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter if you want us to talk about anything in particular next week. Until then.
Bye for now.